This is called bring your own chair talk show for Christ. So panelist chosen by God, bring your own chair. Today's topic is the faith. And then during the month of April, we collected the questions in the congregation to have whatever questions we have. We divided these questions, collected questions into two groups. And one is about faith, the other one is about church. Today is the first series about this question sermon series. And then we have these awesome people chosen by God, but they are being chosen by others too. So let's ask them who they are, why they are here first. And would you like to start with you first?
I'm Steve Miller, and I'm here because I was voluntold.
I'm Michelle Hill, and who can say no to Susan Baroff?
I'm Jill Murphy, and I was not exactly told what this whole thing was about.
And I'm married to Susan Baroff.
Many different ways we ended up in the same place. And we call that it is God's will that we do. And we believe that they are the chosen person for today to share the faith and questions or wrestle with us. We do believe that theologians are not exist just in a seminary or the theological school out there. Theologians are the persons who are pursuing the knowledge of God. You and I are here together every Sunday to pursue the knowledge of God, to get to know God a little bit better, so we can call ourselves theologians. And God speaks through the many different people, not just anyone, not just one particular person. God speaks through many different voices of God in the church, in the community. These four people are chosen for today to elaborate the questions we received in an answer to those questions. So please feel free to question with us and answer with us together. And then we collected many questions, but condensed it into 10 questions. First, since we are talking about faith, what is faith? Question number one, what is faith?
I said belief in what we can't see or touch.
Relying on God, believing and hoping without actually seeing. Relying on God.
I said faith is believing in something that isn't tangible or obvious by one of our five senses.
I said faith is accepting Christ as our Savior.
How about other faith? Do we have other faith? Every day we do have a faith. When we get into the car garage door, open it up, and when we put the key in there, we believe that it will turn on, right? The engine will be starting, right? If this faith is not honored, we get frustrated, right? And in the church, we are do the kind of a similar thing. When we put our things together to shape up ourselves, we automatically think that whatever we are believing will happen exactly the way we're going to have, we are believing it. Sometimes not, right? And at that kind of question, we are throwing it at us right now. Believing something what we are not seeing with our physical eyes. And the people said that our Redeemers United Methodist Church is a community of a faith. What faith are we talking about in here?
For question number two, I said we're talking about faith in God, faith in Jesus, and the faith in each of us, the faith that each of us shares by being a part of this community.
I agree with Steve, but I also think that it's faith in our community, that the people around us will help us grow in our faith and nurture us.
I think we at our Redeemers here, we have a strong Christian faith community in that the people of our church support everyone in the mission trips, in working in Schaumburg and the surrounding communities. And I think also, just as important, encouraging us all to work in our own homes to start there to build the seeds of faith with our families.
I am thankful to belong to this community of faith because many of them have helped me on many of occasions, and I am so grateful.
Having faith community is a good, right? You have a faith. When we come to church, we have a faith that this church will support. When you come to church on Sunday, you have a faith that it's, we're going to present and share the God's love together and present the love of Christ in church together to worship God together. When you come to church, you are expecting church to present message of God. That is the faith community that we're talking about. We are the Christian. It's persons of God in these places are Christian, going to God and have faith and casting faith. At the same time, we trust each other that we're going to hold on to each other by pursuing the knowledge of God as a community. In differences, in many different opinions too. We trust each other that we can make mistakes in here, but not be mocked by the other people. That is the faith. And then another question I have in here is, number three, do all Christians believe the same thing? If yes, then why there are so many different denominations, such as Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist, and so on? If not, then why not?
I say no, we don't all believe in the same things. We all interpret Scripture differently. I went to a Disciples of Christ college at Eureka College. I wasn't a divinity student, although there were a lot of those persons there. And I also noticed that there was an apostolic church in town, disciples, apostles. And I found out from the divinity students that those two different denominations were determined by the placement of a comma in one of the scriptures. It's as simple as that.
I said yes and no. I think some of the differences in the denominations are due to how people think a church should be run, some administrative differences, who they feel can be leaders in the church. I think, though, that Christians all believe in Jesus as our salvation.
I also said yes and no. I believe that the Bible is left up to your interpretation, and people are going to interpret things differently based on their situation and their opinions. And no one person has the right answer or proof or evidence that their way of interpreting is correct, and so that's going to lead to a lot of different ways of seeing things.
My answer is also yes and no. All Christians believe in God the Father and in Jesus Christ the Son, our Savior, but beyond that, things start to get a little fuzzy. The different denominations of the Christian faith have different beliefs and traditions, mainly regarding the specifics of how to keep the faith.
How about the number four? How can I know when it is God who is speaking to me? Personally, let's personalize. We say that we are hearing God's voice in our personal walk in daily basis. How do we know that we are hearing God's voice?
I really don't know. While I don't think I've ever heard God's voice directly, I do believe that he's guided me through my life. I believe it's possible that some of the decisions I've made in my life were influenced by God, and maybe that's how he speaks to me.
I don't think you can know when God is speaking to you. I think you need to have faith and believe that that is what is happening, but you'll never know for certain if God is speaking to you. You may know when reflecting on what's happened, you may say that was God speaking to me, but you'll never know for certain, but you just need to have faith that he will lead you in the right direction.
I don't think it's an easy thing to know if God is speaking to you or not. I do like to reflect on a daily basis. Somebody wrote something somewhere about, you know, you're praying for patience. Well, God might necessarily not give you patience, but he will give you opportunity to practice being patient. And as a mother of three, I think I get that every day. I think that people need to sit and reflect, pray, read the Bible, and listen for God's word. I'm not sure he's going to actually come with a thunderous voice and say something to you. You just need to listen with your heart.
Oh, when I was little, and I remembered in times of my mother's stretch, she would always ask for God to give her strength. And I wondered, who is this God she's talking to? And then I think he spoke to me indirectly, because every time I had a bad thought or did something stupid to my brother or sister, I would stub a toe. And I made the connection, you know, God was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. No, don't do those things anymore, and you won't stub your toe. Simple as that.
After first service, several people approached me about these questions too. And some people in the congregation, they heard the voice of God at certain points. There is no right answer and there is no wrong answer. Everybody is a journey together. I don't know which is right and wrong, but what we know right now. That's why we are here to share our experience. How do we know that God is speaking to me or not? To be honest, my personal journey, I do not know what to say about these questions too. But we have amazing theologians in our congregation asking this question. How do we know God is speaking to me? I'm asking these questions to you. I'm throwing these questions to you, all of you. How do you know God is speaking to you? Probably you need to think through. Oftentimes, I do have a time to reflect. And at the end of the day, and in that moment, I could say that, aha, that moment, God was speaking to me. And somehow, my receptive antenna was not strong enough to catch the moment. But later on, through the reflection, I caught the moment. And aha, that was the moment God spoke. God spoke to me through this person and through this area. So I think that through the reflection, we can know the God when God is speaking to us. But is that, yes, some people in the congregation, they can hear the voice of God directly. Some people cannot. So we needed to work together as a faith community to approach the voice of God in the congregation too. Number five question. Since we talk about God, and some people are hearing the voice of God through the Bible often too. I'm one of them too. So number five question, is the Bible the literal word of God? Do I have to believe exactly what the Bible said?
It's mostly open to interpretation by those who originally wrote the Gospels beginning 100 years after the crucifixion. I mean, time went by and people started to write about their experience and what they've heard from people before them. So it's open to interpretation, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think I kind of agree with Jerry. It's open to interpretation. People wrote the Bible, but I believe they were inspired by God, that they felt God's presence, and so were writing what they thought and felt. I do believe that when the New Covenant from Jesus' time kind of supersedes some of the stuff in the Old Testament, like the eye for the eye versus turn the other cheek, then I believe, you know, we go with what Jesus has said.
I also agree that I think that it's open to interpretation because it was written by man and not written by God. That they may have been inspired by God or may have been spoken to by God, but it was written by man and things can be changed, but that the underlying concepts are there. I also believe that, like Michelle said, in the New Testament, the word of Jesus, it's more like quotations, and that should be, that is strict, and I do believe that that is the word of God.
Like a lot of these questions, I'm not sure that I know the answer, and that's okay. Some people say that since man physically wrote the Bible, then we can't know if the words are really from God. But many parts of the Bible were written by man when he was spoken to by or under the influence of God, and so I believe that the Bible is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word by word, we do not know exactly, but it's the inspiration of God. Through the inspiration of God, it is written according to the scripture. Then I do believe that it is the word of God, but not literal sense. Because in the Hebrew Bible, in American Bible, in what translation are we talking about the scripture? What word are we hold on to? NIV version, the translation version we are using in church, or Revised Standard version, or other types of the translation, other language, Korean translation, Chinese translation, are there the ones we need to believe? And then it is hard to say the literal words, right? But it's we are looking at the word principle behind the word, what God is telling at the biblical time, and then why the person of God who needed to write in this way, why, what is the purpose of that? And to bring this principle back to our time, the 21st century, and we needed to interpret it that. In a Methodist church, we call the four quadrilateral system, which means that we are accepting scripture as the word of God, but we needed, like at all four panelists mentioned, that we needed to interpret it. Interpretation is important, how to bring the God's message into our personal lives. In Methodist church, we use the tradition. Based on the tradition, we read the Bible differently. And based on the reasonings, we are reading the Bible differently. And based on our experience, we are interpreting the Bible differently. So we, as a Methodist church, Christians, and we are respecting the different interpretation with three different lenses in our personal lives. I just wanted to mention about this. And number six, this person said, I read the Bible and try to follow what scriptures tells me to do, but things in my life are not working out better for me. Why aren't they?
In my case, I said this has not been my personal experience. My life has been very blessed, and I'm grateful for that. And even when I don't read the Bible or follow it as much as I should, I'm still blessed. But if this person is asking me what I think in their case, I would say that I would tell them to have faith that God does have a plan for them, but the plan isn't always clear to us, even when we're looking for clarity.
I believe that you have to wait to be able to reflect on your life. You can't say at this moment that things aren't working out, because they may not be working out right now, but a few years from now, you may look back and say that everything worked out for the better, or took you down a different path than you may have liked, but that's the path that God has chosen for you. And God may be teaching you lessons that you have yet to learn in your life, and you should accept that and put your faith in Him.
I think that sometimes when we pray, we may not get the answer that we're looking for. God is doing what He feels is best, and like Jill said, we have to have faith and in His plan for us. Sometimes the answer is no, and not what we want to hear.
Things couldn't have worked out better for me, especially when it comes to love. And maybe I should read the Bible more.
Faith, again, we are going back to whenever we have a question in our personal lives, where is our faith? Are we imposing our agenda in God's agenda? Or that we are accepting God's agenda to be our agenda? And we needed to work it out. And then, as we heard, probably we are learning something we do not expect to learn that moment, maybe. Who knows? Faith, again, we need to respect our ignorance too. Let's own the ignorance. We do not know everything what's going on in our personal lives, but we are pursuing the knowledge of God again by having faith in Jesus Christ and by believing that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. If you are in love with God, say amen.
Amen.
Then if you have a question, it's still going to be okay. Because we love the Lord. We have a faith in God that everything worked out for good for us because we love the Lord. That is a conditional statement. We love the Lord. So it is okay to have a question in our personal life, and we are learning. We are doing our best. God knows it, our heart. So if you are struggling with some questions like this, please just keep pressing on. Don't give up. And then number seven, and what proof is there that Christianity is not a myth?
The millions of believers. That's what faith is all about.
I think if people are looking for physical proof, they're obviously it's been proven that Jesus lived and died, and then the rest of it is through faith. I think, you believe what you believe through the faith in that Jesus died for our sins.
Like Michelle said, that it has been proven that Jesus was there, but people accept that He was there, but may not accept the Christianity aspect of it. But the stories and Christianity itself has been passed down since the time of Jesus and through the Bible and through worship and things like that. And so with, like Z said, all of the millions of people, there have been millions of people for thousands of years, and that is helps with the faith aspect.
You know, obviously there is a lot of disagreement around the world about the amount of historical or scientific proof that exists to support the claims of Christianity. And like Michelle, I believe that in the end it always comes back to faith.
Astronomers have even gone back and discovered the Star of Bethlehem. It was there.
If we decide to look for proof, there are many. I'm encouraging all of you to look for proof if you are looking for proof. Or other choice, just accept. Just have a faith, impress on. You have a two choice. You can spend a little more time to look for proof around the world or looking for it in the history. Or you just cast your faith in Christ and capture the faith and just move on. You have a two choice. You have to decide on that. Due to the time, so we're going to skip in and let's ask the number 20 questions. What is communion and why is it so significant? Do Christians really believe that they are eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ when they receive the communion like a vampire sucking the blood out of the Christ, eating the body?
No. Communion is the symbolic way that Christians come together as a community of faith to remember and celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made so that we could be forgiven for our sins. And the reason it's significant, the second part of the question, is because we believe that if our sins are not forgiven, we will not have eternal life after our physical lives end here on earth.
I do not believe that we're actually, it's the actual blood or body of Christ. It's symbolism, remembering the Last Supper, and in the ensuing days how Christ died for our sins.
I believe communion is the renewal of our belief that Christ died for us, and it's obviously a significant part of our faith walk. Isaac said this morning that that some Christians do believe they're eating the body and drinking the blood. Personally, I do not believe that. For me, it's a symbol.
I agree with everyone else that it is a symbol, not literal, and that it is a very important reminder of Christ's sacrifice for us, and it's very important that we have this reminder once a month or once a week or every day, and because it's important for us to remember and to think about it.
We Methodist Christians know that how forgetful we are. Methodist Church, when it got formed, that we learned that we have a junior moment and senior moments. We do not remember all the time, so we needed to have a reminder. And then they put that thought into this communion in here. We come to church, and we need to remind ourselves continuously how awesome God we believe, how awesome Jesus we have received from God as a symbol of love. So we, Methodist Church, we take this communion as a reminder of God's love through the mighty acts of Jesus Christ who performed over our lives. By reminding ourselves, by remembering the mighty acts of Jesus Christ. That's why we are taking communion. Before Jesus died on the cross for us, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you, for many, because I love you so much. Remember, you are being loved by God, by loved by Jesus, and loved by the community of faith. Remember, you are lovable." In the same way, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sin. As I am forgiving you, you need to forgive yourself and forgive others. Because I want you to live in harmony with God and with your people, your friends, your family. So forgive each other as I am forgiving you. By taking this new covenant, know that you are forgiven. Let us pray. Pour out your spirit upon us and upon these elements, Lord, by remembering the mighty acts of Jesus Christ. We are partaking this communion. Help us to have a faith that you are alive, God. Help us to have a faith that you are still at work in our personal lives to restore the harmony and reconcile us with you and within us and within the community we are being assigned to, Lord. Help us to have this strong faith in this community. In Christ's name, amen.